You may recognize some of these pictures that are appearing behind me on the screen. You may have even taken some of these pictures that are appearing behind me on the screen. Different images that were sent in for our harvest service last year. Images from different people in the church of what came to mind when they thought about God's amazing creation, God's amazing, glorious, beautiful creation. This creation that's filled with colour and with life of so many different types. And these scenes that are appearing behind me of Porthcawl and New Zealand and other places, they're very far, aren't they, from the scene of crucifixion that we've been thinking about the last few weeks. That scene of torture and pain and humiliation, shock. So what do these photos have to do with the cross? Well, the person that we see at the cross, he made all these things. Our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, brought all of these things into being. The landscapes and the hills and the lakes and the animals and everything else and us. And our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, sustaining this world, keeping it as a place filled with life and colour. And is that same Son, the eternal Son of God, who took on human nature, lived in this world, and was nailed to a cross. The author of life, condemned to death. The maker of the trees, nailed to some wood. The source of all of the rivers and the oceans, crying out on the cross with some of his final words before he died. I thirst. Those are the words we're going to be thinking about today as Jesus cries out from the cross, I thirst. Ordinary, very human kinds of words. Very ordinary compared to some of the things that we've been thinking about over the last few weeks. Ordinary words to hear from the lips of such an extraordinary person. But I hope that today we'll be able to see that those words, I thirst, are a real comfort to us, whatever trials or difficulties we're facing at the moment. And to see that, we'll turn to John chapter 19. And the pictures have now disappeared, but you can watch them again later on YouTube. Our harvest service is still there, and it has music as well. John chapter 19, and from verse 28. Verse 28 is where we see this saying of Jesus, I thirst. We've had a number of sayings so far. Jesus has been on the cross for quite a long time, and there have been 3 hours of darkness when the sun stopped shining in the middle of the day. At the end of those 3 hours, we had those words last time, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we have three more words to think about over the next few weeks, which all come very close together. They're all mixed up together at the end of Jesus' life before his death. And each of them tells us something different about what Jesus was accomplishing in his death and his resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of the Father. And I'll read John 19 verses 28 to 30, which has two of the sayings in. And we'll just be looking at those words, I thirst. John 19, 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So his words where he said, some of his final words before his death, I thirst. I think we can see how they're an encouragement to us today. If we think about two reasons why he said these words, there may be more reasons, but these are two reasons I can see why he said those words, I thirst. The first reason is this, that he was thirsty. We'll start with the obvious one, shall we? They said these words because he was thirsty. And not the kind of thirst that you get when you've been on a long walk on a hot day and you haven't taken enough water with you and you're thirsty. But the kind of thirst that I don't think any of us have experienced, the kind of thirst that you have when you've been nailed to a cross for hours without any relief. A really deep thirst. And it's an obvious point that he would say, "I thirst," if he was thirsty. But it's important that we don't miss the obvious, because here in those words we get a reminder of who this person is who's dying on the cross. At the beginning of John's Gospel, some of you know the words very well, we're told the Word, eternal God the Son, became flesh. In these words we're reminded that when the Word became flesh, it was real. When God became human, it was real. When God the Son was born as a baby, it was real. He was a real baby. The birth and life and death of Jesus was not some kind of theatrical performance with costumes and divine special effects. The cross wasn't some kind of scene projected onto the cinema screens of Golgotha. This was real. Jesus was God. He's also truly man. Now you could look at your hands, if you've got hands. Look at your hands for a moment. Those hands that we see at the cross, being nailed to the cross, hands with nails through, those were real hands, just like your hands. And that skin that was scarred from the flogging and the beatings that Jesus had endured, that was real skin, like your skin. And that throat that was parched from not having had any liquid for so many hours in such an agonizing situation, it's a real human throat, like your throat. His thirst was real. His exhaustion on the cross was real. That sense of betrayal was real. His agony was real. Truly man. What we see in those words is what we heard earlier from Hebrews chapter 2. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. Or in other words, because the people that Jesus came to save were human, well, he became human. He shared in our flesh and blood, in our humanity. He was still fully God, still God the Son, but also fully man. We don't need to understand the mystery of how that happens, we just need to know that that's true. And in his flesh and blood, he experienced real death. Death on the cross wasn't just the performance. We're told in verse 17 that he had to be made like his brothers, his people who he would save. He had to be made like his brothers in every respect. Not just in one way, or two ways, or five ways. But experiencing the full range of human emotions, the full range of human experiences. The only exception being without sin. That he never strayed from the will of his Father in heaven. When God the Son became human, the Word became flesh, it wasn't a costume he just put on and would unzip later when he rose from the dead or anything like that. It was all real. And even when he ascended into heaven, which was Ascension Day this last Thursday, he ascended into heaven, he ascended with a body. And the disciples were told he would return in the same way. That body was a glorified post-resurrection body, but still sharing in our humanity. As we see Jesus saying these words on the cross, his real thirst, his real exhaustion, his real pain, we're reminded again of how we have a high priest who can understand, who can sympathize with us in our weaknesses, in our temptations, and in our suffering. Although he may be physically at a distance from us, spiritually he is near to us as one who understands. And sometimes if we're in a situation where people don't understand us and what we're going through, we might say something like, well, maybe if you tried walking a mile in my shoes, then you'd understand. Here we see God the Son did walk in our shoes. He came down to this world where we live, and he walked among us and lived among us. And he went even further than any of us have experienced in going to that agony of death on the cross. And now he's able to walk with us through any suffering, any pain, any of the limitations we experience in our human life now. He can walk through it all with us as one who understands, offering real sympathetic help from heaven, whatever we're going through, whatever we're experiencing. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, the one who walks beside us, because he's already walked this way before. So whatever it is that's making you a bit worn out at the moment, what is it that's making you weary at the moment? Don't just say COVID-19, that's the obvious answer, but what specifically is making you weary at the moment? What's making it hard to trust God at the moment? What's weighing you down when you wake up in the mornings? What limitations of your humanity are you finding really frustrating at the moment? What emotions are you finding it hard to handle right now? You see Jesus dying on the cross and saying those words, "I thirst," we remember he understands. He knows. And he is with us, walking with us through whatever we face in this world, all of the weaknesses and limitations and the suffering and the pain. He's with us as one who understands, our sympathetic high priest who is made like us. So today, we look at the cross and hear those words, "I thirst," and remember how he came, shared in our humanity, became like us so he could help us. That's the first reason he said, "I thirst." But there's a second reason that gets even more wonderful than that. Not just Jesus walking beside us in our suffering, but Jesus said, "I thirst," also because it was part of God's plan. He said those words, "I thirst," because it was part of God's plan. Turn back to John 19. And as we look at those words from verse 28, John wants us to understand something very important about what's going on here. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished — we'll see this a bit more next week — but there was some kind of plan that was now being finished, that was being completed, that was being accomplished. Everything was going according to plan. There was a plan at work. This wasn't just random. And when he said, "I thirst," even that was part of the plan. It was to fulfill the scripture. It was an answer to words that had been spoken before in the past. And the most likely answer is that it was to fulfill words that we find in Psalm 69. You can read the psalm later on. It's been quoted earlier in John's gospel, and when you read it later on, you can see if you can spot where. Just like last week in Psalm 22, we saw those words describing someone who trusted God, who was being opposed by enemies with no apparent help in sight. We saw that those words ultimately pointed us to the experience of Jesus. So too with Psalm 69. Those words in verse 21. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. And here, when Jesus cries out on the cross, "I thirst," what do they give him to drink? That sour wine. It's all happening as God planned, as God said it would. Which means that the suffering of Jesus here on the cross and the suffering in his life, none of it was meaningless or directionless or endless. It's all part of a divine plan. A divine plan that would lead to Jesus stamping an expiry date on suffering and death. And the wonderful news for us as we trust Jesus today is that our suffering and our weaknesses and our weariness are part of that plan too. But just as Jesus' weariness on the cross came to an end, so too all of our weariness will come to an end as we trust in Jesus. That was what the woman of Samaria discovered when she met Jesus at the well. Some of you know that story in John chapter 4. If you don't, you can read it later. It's a wonderful story. And if I told you at the beginning of today's service that we'd be looking at a part of John's gospel that talks about thirst, some of you would have thought of that story. Because this woman comes to a well where Jesus is sitting because he's thirsty. And this woman comes on her own to get water because she's a kind of outcast in her community. And she's been worn out by lots of things in life. And she comes to draw water and Jesus says to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. But the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Here's the point. When the world wears us out, there are lots of places that we can look for relief from that weariness, that we can look for help and hope. Lots of places we can look, some of them good, some of them bad. But all of them have one thing in common. They're all temporary. The other places that we look for relief are all temporary. Just like you come and draw water from a well and it satisfies your thirst for a bit, and then what happens? You get thirsty again. And you come and you drink, you get thirsty again. And you come and you drink and you get thirsty again. All these things are temporary, except one. One lasting source of relief for the weariness of this world that we find in Jesus. Jesus, who can give us eternal relief, eternal hope, eternal satisfaction, eternal life. And he can do that because he came not just to help us with one issue in our life. And not just to deal with some of the symptoms in our life. He came to deal with the underlying cause of all of our weariness. He came to deal with our sin. Sin, a word that the Bible uses to describe this disease that's at the heart of us. That means that we don't live as God created us to. We don't live as we should do as part of God's creation. We want to live our own way. We think we can have a better life away from God, or at least partly away from God. Maybe listening to him sometimes, but wanting to choose when I listen to God and when I don't. And we think we can have a better life away from God, but we find out that that isn't quite as satisfying an answer as we first thought. And life away from God ultimately only leads in one direction. It leads to death. Physical death, that's in the world because of sin, and worse than that, eternal spiritual death away from God. We deserve, all of us, for how we've lived in God's world. But here, at the cross, we see Jesus, who came to deal with our sin. He came to this world, lived the life that we failed to, and then died on the cross, taking the punishment that we deserve for our sin, taking our sin on himself, dying in our place at the cross, so that we could be healed spiritually, so that we could have our sin forgiven, so that we could have our relationship with the God of heaven restored, and so that we could, as we trusted Jesus, one day enjoy the certain end of the story. The good news of these words I thirst, that as we go through difficult times in our lives, Jesus isn't just walking beside us, hoping that things work out for the best. But he's also standing at the end of the journey of our lives, standing ahead of us, ready to welcome us into the future that he's died to bring us, to welcome us into eternal relief and rest and joy, to welcome us into that scene that we get in Revelation chapter 7, words also spoken by the Apostle John. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In his death, Jesus stamped an expiry date on suffering and death for all of his people. And those who trust him now, those who believe in him, will one day taste that eternal relief that was spoken of in those words, that final full end of all suffering and all death and all pain forever. And today, as we look at the cross and we hear those words, I thirst, we remember that all of our suffering and pain and weaknesses have an expiry date, that one day they will come to an end. Jesus has brought them to an end, and he'll be with us every step of the way until then. In our suffering and pain, in our weaknesses, our weariness, Jesus is beside us as the one who understands, and he stands ahead of us at the certain end of our life's journey, ready to welcome us into a glorious eternity, which is all wonderful news. And we have two opportunities to respond to that news in today's service, in the rest of today's service. One of those opportunities is as we come to the Lord's Supper, as we share, or at least we eat and drink at the same time, even though we're not sharing one cup and one loaf. But as we share together in this bread and this wine, we remember the body of Jesus that was broken for us, that body that led him to cry, I thirst, and that blood that was shed for us. We remember how he suffered for us, how he now walks with us, and how he stands at the end of the journey to grant us that eternal rest. And this Lord's Supper, this bread and wine, is an invitation for all of us today. For some of us, maybe this is a prompt for you to come to trust in Jesus for the first time. Maybe you're joining these services, maybe you've enjoyed joining these services, but maybe you haven't actually responded to Jesus. Maybe you're still not quite sure what to make of him or what your response should be. If that is you, Whatever's going on in your life at the moment, whatever's making you weary and worn out, Jesus knows. Jesus understands. And Jesus knows where you're looking for relief and hope and satisfaction at the moment. The good things and the bad things. And he knows that none of those things can really satisfy you, that all of those things are temporary ways of relief. He knows that none of those things can deal with the biggest issue, the deepest issue of your sin, of your separation from God. And so he calls you today to come and trust in him and to find life and rest in him now and forever. And to join him on this journey which leads all of his people to that eternal rest. And when, after the next song, we share the Lord's Supper together, rather than eating and drinking, which is something for those who already trust Jesus to do together, rather than eating and drinking, could use that time to reflect on who you think Jesus is and to come to him in prayer. For many of us today, this Lord's Supper will be an invitation of a different type, an invitation to come and be refreshed, to be refreshed in our journey, in our walk with Jesus. Now, just as we eat physical food to get physical refreshment, this wafer and drink won't give you much physical refreshment, although it will give you a tiny amount. But it's more for our spiritual refreshment. As we come and remember the one who suffered for us, as we remember the one who walks beside us through everything we face, as we remember the one who stands ahead of us at the end of life's journey, as we remember that the one who made the oceans suffered that thirst on the cross so he could lead us into a thirstless eternity. That's one part of our response. There's another part of our response today as well. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. That whatever we're experiencing, we can come to the Lord in prayer. And we can know we have a sympathetic high priest, the Lord Jesus, who understands and who gives us rest in our weariness. So we're going to have that song either to listen to here in the building or to sing at home. Then we'll come to a time of